finding out your process is stable is just a step in the process. It can be an end in its own, in that a stable process is predictable and consistent, and that's good to have in general. But generally, I would say we're not interested in only a stable process. We're interested in how well the process produces products that are in specification within some set of limits that would make good products. And so we certainly can have a process that is stable, but makes a significant amount of scrap. Now, it could be predictable scrap, and that's an improvement versus unpredictable, where one batch is all good and the next day we're making nothing but scrap. But that's getting a stable process has the benefit of allowing us to improve the process in meaningful ways and be able to detect what's working and not working in order to achieve a higher yield for the process. The idea is to make less scrap. Now, another part of the capability is that there's a series of different indexes or indices that allow us to compare the, say, different vendors and different processes and allow us to make some interpretations as to how stable, or not how stable, but how capable, what's the process's ability to make products that are within the specifications. Now, in the discussion about control charts, I mentioned a couple of times that we plot control limits, which is based on the data, and we do not plot or put on the charts the specification limits, which is used to make a judgment of whether this particular item is good or bad. It's a separate analysis, and control charts really have a primary purpose of creating and maintaining stable processes. Now, once your process is stable, and it's staying with the data and the plotting that you're doing is staying within the control limits the vast majority of time, then what we want to do at that point is compare that set of data to the specifications. And so here's a simple drawing that we have our data. It's a simple normal curve, let's assume, and we calculate the spread. We could do that on the range based on plus or minus 3 standard deviations, or calculate standard deviations directly. But we use the variance or some representation of that variance to represent the spread of our data. And then we compare that histogram basically to our specification. Now, ideally, the specification is well outside of where our data falls. Doesn't have to. The specification comes from the design side or from our requirements documents, and it may or may not be in consideration of what our processes are capable of doing. So this is where this notion of setting tolerances, and we're going to talk about that in a little more detail later, is related to our process capability. All right. So if the spread of our data and the data is centered or within our specifications, if this entire histogram falls within the specifications, well, we don't have anything to do. Everything's in spec and everything's good. And basically, it's don't change anything. Keep it running. Make it work. Now, let's say that the mean of our data was closer to one of the edges of our specification, such that too much of our production became scrap, was outside the specifications. Well, one of the options is to change the specifications. The process itself is what it is. It's creating this set of units and the measurements associated with it. Now, I should do a little quick caveat here, is make sure that you have good measurement systems. And in the certified quality engineer, we spend more time about measurement systems. But here's a good spot to remind you is to make sure that your measurement error is minimized and that process is not contributing too much variation to the readings you're making. All right. So let's say my data is crossing one of the specifications and I'm getting too much scrap. Well, is it possible to widen the specifications and still have a viable product? That might be the easier thing to do. It's not always possible, given the nature of some of our designs, because it may impact many other parts of the system. So another option is to change our process, is to move the center line of our process so that it's more towards the center of our specifications, thus minimizing the amount of scrap that we get. Another option is to reduce the variability. If I make the variation about our average tighter and tighter, it'll have the effect of reducing the amount of scrap we got. And then the last resort is, well, you might want to consider charging enough to cover the cost of the scrap that you're producing, is basically accept the losses. And in some cases, that may be the only option you have. You may be at the technical hairy edge of what's possible to be manufactured, and you get the good ones and throw away the rest or rework the rest if that's possible. So once I get a process stable, then I start comparing it to the specifications. And there's a series of things I can do about that in order to minimize the number of units that are outside the specification. And so this is part of that continuous improvement process, is continuing to improve or change our design or process in order to make a more perfect, I like using the phrase more better because it drives those grammar police crazy, make a more better product. All right, so the indices, the capability index, or the capability in C sub P, is basically that direct comparison between the specification limits, the upper spec minus the lower spec, which is that distance between the specifications, and Six Sigma, which is the spread of the data. And it's basically a very, very simple ratio. And if the ratio is less than one, that means that the tails of our data is going to, on one side or the other or both, are going to be outside the specification limits. So if it's right on the edge, if it just three standard deviation touch both spec limit or both specification limits, then we have 99.7% of our data that's going to be good, and a small percentage will be bad. But any variation in that process is going to mean that we're going to create a significant amount of scrap. And so the CP values, the higher they are, means that the Six Sigma, where the data is located, is actually smaller than the range of our specifications, so that it's more likely that we'll get good data. Now, the capability index, C sub P, doesn't include where those two, where the data is actually located. So it doesn't really give us a direct indication of how many bad units we have. It could be all of the units or none of the units. It's just a matter of the ratio of what's possible. So the C sub P, or the capability index, is more of a what's theoretically possible. So if I go back to the previous slide with the chart, here it's perfectly centered and it's well within the specifications. So my C sub P value is going to be greater than one. It's going to be, in this case, probably closer to two. But if that normal distribution that's plotted here was off the chart to the right, all of it was outside of the specification, I would still get the same C sub P value, because it's taking the two spreads in ratio, and it doesn't take into account as to where they're located. So it's one of the cautions with the C sub P metric. It's really a theoretically possible, assuming you're centered, of what kind of performance you get, or that if you could center the data in your specification. But so that's something to keep in mind when you're looking at C sub P. And that's a very common index, but it doesn't imply that all of your data is going to be good if you have a high C sub P value. It has to then also be followed up with some other metric or measure. Now, for those of you that want to reverse this, and I don't see this in practice very often at all, and I'm drawing a blank at what the C sub R stands for, but it's another capability index. But here I'm looking at the spread of the actual data over the specification. And in this case, Anything higher than one is incapable. It means that the spread of the actual data is larger than the spread of our specification. The lower the value, the more capable it is. So this one I don't haven't seen very often, but it is just another way of calculating the capability index. And we use the notation C sub R, which I'm drawing a complete blank of what that stands for. So C sub PK, CPK, as it's often referred to, does take into account where is the data, how close to the center of the specification is the data set. And so we take the minimum of these two distances and calculate the C sub PK. And that allows us then to determine, is it in the center of our data set, and is it capable? Is it also capable? And so notice it's using 3 sigma because it's looking at really the distance to the nearest specification limit. And if it's dead center, then these two values within this min phrase are going to be the same. And that rarely occurs. So one or the other is going to be a little bit smaller than the other one, indicating a little bit more is at risk to being outside the specification. So it's very common to talk about and use the CPK value. The interpretation is the same as with the CP value, except that it does take into account where is the data. Is it within the specifications or not? CPM is a variation of this, and this comes into play when you have a target value that's maybe not centered in the range of your specification. So you may have an upper and lower specification, but instead of the midpoint being the target value, you may have an optimum value that's, say, at 1/3 away from the upper spec limit. And so it takes into account that you may have an offset target within your specification range. And so it comes into play in a handful of cases where you have a preference or an optimal value, and then you have a range of values that are allowable. So it might be, I want something to be 2 centimeters long, but not more than 2.2 centimeters and not less than 1.5 centimeters. So my optimum value is closer to the upper spec in that case. So the capital T in this equation would be our target. In this case, it would be 2 centimeters. And the upper spec is 2.2 and the lower spec is 1.5. And we could calculate out an indice. And it's the same basic interpretation as the CP or CPK. The higher the value, the better. And if you've preferably you're dealing with a CP or CPK value or CPM value of 2 or greater, it has little probability of scrap occurring from that process. And it would be just keep an eye on it if it's a critical part of your process or part for your product. But if you've got a part that's got a CPK of 1 or less, then it actually takes some improvement in order to minimize the amount of scrap. And so it's keep in mind those different options you have, is change the spec or change the process or accept that you're going to have a scrap occurring. So the basic idea, once again, is make sure your process is stable, then calculate, is it capable? Now, it's all too often and too many times I've seen procurement engineers go in and just say, hey, can you make a part that goes 2 centimeters plus or minus 10%? And the vendor is going to say, sure, no problem. And then they're going to give us control charts that may or may not show that it's stable, and they tend to avoid calculating out capability because that's what it's the real story is what we're really looking for. Or they'll give us capability but not show us that it's a stable process. So they really go hand in hand as make sure your process is stable, then calculate capability. All right, so next, a little bit of an aside in dealing with standard normal tables and Z values and those kinds of things.